All right. Well, the series of the year is here. The Jays welcome the Yankees to the Rogers Center for four games. The 48-35 Yankees coming into town. Three games separate Toronto and New York in the standings. The pitching matchups, well, in a four-game series, you're going to get great matchups. But in this series in particular, Carlos Rodon against Max Scherzer tonight. Max Fried against Kevin Gausman tomorrow. That is a 3:07 first pitch reminder. Will Warren against Jose Berrios in game three. And the fourth game of the series, Clark Schmidt against Chris Bassett. Chris Bassett coming off an awful outing in Boston against the Red Sox, although need to keep in mind that Chris Bassett is a different pitcher at home than he is on the road, at least in terms of results. 2.60 ERA at home, 6.38 on the road.
Oof.
It is Blair and Barker. Ross Atkins held his media availability today. He does it about once a month. And this is going into the draft and you know, leading up to the All-Star break as well. We'll get to that in a few minutes, but before we do that, I want to put a bow on the weekend series against the Boston Red Sox. Jays winning 5-3 yesterday. They take 2 of 3 from the Red Sox. They take 2 of 3 from Cleveland. Pretty successful road trip, the 15-1 loss on Saturday. Chris Bassett, we talked about it a bit, first inning, single, single, homer and walk, single, hit by batter with two outs. It was a 35-pitch inning. I mean, it was almost like that Gausman inning against the Yankees in New York. It's the type of outing, Chris said after the game, he was going to go back and look at the tape in case he was tipping pitches. That's the type of outing that would cause you to do that, I would think, if you're a pitcher.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I think this is at his age.
You're searching for answers. Yeah, any answers.
Look,
right?
You know, whenever you get beat up like that, and especially it's sort of trying to figure out one inning, and the next inning it just sort of rolls over to, you know, the location of the secondary stuff. He got two strikes a bunch of times, couldn't put dudes away. You know, the fastball command. Normally when he's really good, right, it's sort of the up and down game with the fastballs, right? He'll backdoor the two seamer, he'll elevate the cutter. You know, he'll element a surprise with the breaking stuff. He needs to backdoor that to lefties when you're not and you're missing. You know, like with guys like Abreu who hit the 3-run homer in the first inning, they're going to make you pay for it. That sort of navigating certain parts of the lineup is a big deal when you're on the road, especially when you're in the confines of, you know, that sort of Red Sox lineup, that short porch and right, the short porch and left. Like, you got to do some things. You got to add some tracks. You got to be on point. When you're not, you get beat up. That's sort of, you know, that's lingo for had one of them days. You know, I'm going to have him. And he sort of had one of them. You sort of throw it in the garbage. You know, you figure out how to locate a little bit better. You come out the next time and you hopefully try and give your team a chance to win. And I think that's what he'll do. He's an old enough guy to sort of try and forget about what happened in a bad start. So he'll be better in his next start.
What'd you make of Jeff Hoffman yesterday? Three strikeouts coming on to get the save in the 5-3 win over the Red Sox. When he threw 14 pitches, he got there were a couple. I was going to say there were a couple of disputed. I wouldn't say disputed calls. There were a couple of calls that could have gone either way. I only got three whiffs. Those came in the slider. What did you make of Jeff Hoffman?
Yeah, look, I don't think his split finger's any good. I've been saying that for quite some time, ever since April left. The split finger really ain't splitting. I mean, it looks more like a hard changeup. Hard changeup to the left, he's not a very good pitch. I think that's still something, a work in progress, the slider. That's the best the slider's been in a while. You mentioned it, he had 5 called strikes. He had 5 swings and 14 pitches. Mm-hmm. There was action. That's a big deal, right? When you're striking guys out, you need action early. You need to get them in swing mode. That'll mean they're having a tough time picking up pitches. The tunneling of the fastball and the slider are a big deal. It's still getting better extension and just having a better finish with the split finger so you can throw it to lefties. But when his slider's that good, he can throw it to righties and lefties. It might look the way it looked. It'll be intriguing to see against the Yankees middle of the order, right? I'm sure in the next 4 games, it'll be one of those times where – you're going to need him to do some heavy lifting. Can he sort of maneuver through, figure out how to get a tough righty out, like, say, a Judge, and then maybe followed up to some lefties who might have to lay off the slider, will force him to throw more fastballs in better windows, throw the split finger, tunneling out of that window, have it break 12 to 6 where it wants to go. But I'm being picky. You know, we haven't heard if Jimmy's coming back yet.
Well, no, we haven't heard anything. When did he pitch? Yesterday?
Sunday.
Okay, then my thought process is that they probably wouldn't put him on the roster today because they wouldn't be able to.
Maybe
wouldn't
tomorrow.
Want to use him, so maybe tomorrow.
Probably, yeah.
But, I mean,
22 pitches yesterday, I think he threw.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything. Yeah. I haven't seen anything on the from the Jays social people about Jimmy Garcia. I think everybody maybe will know a little more from John Schneider. Later on, but I think most people expect him to be back with the team and ready to go tomorrow.
Yeah.
That was the indication, anyhow. Mm-hmm. Anything else you want to talk about? Just don't want to put a bow in that.
Well,
I want to put a bow in that Red Sox series.
I think John's starting to be a little bit more careful with how he uses Little, how he wants to use Rodriguez, how he wants to use Hoffman, right? You don't want to abuse him. I know some people, you know, were thinking, why don't you run Little back out there for – you know, after I think he threw 9 pitches, mm-hmm. I think that's what it was. Well, you know, again, it's 2 lefties and a righty. That's why, you know, we've seen
the up-downs are a thing, too, I think, a little bit.
I don't know if that's what it is. I know he's been abused when it just comes to you need to 8 innings. You're one of the guys that's been getting it done. We're going to lean on you because wins matter early in the season, right? Every one of these series that you're trying to win, no matter where it's at in the season, matters. And when one of your better guys is getting righties and lefties out, you're going to abuse him. I just think John sort of sent a message. Now, it may change if he's had, you know, a couple of more days of rest in a row just to sort of get down there and figure out. I like the way he's using his sinker more. Sinker's a good pitch, bottom of the zone, right? Everybody's been used, if you're a hitter, at least in 2024 and 2025, to look elevated fastball. You get sort of that lefty that's pounding the bottom of the zone with late movement, and then you can sort of start to tunnel the knuckle curve off of that. I like the way John used him in that way. And, you know, I think the only person down there is Fluharty. You know, that might be the one that you might want to try and adjust. I'm not saying you send him down, but you got to be real careful if you're John when you're using him, right? I mean, you can see just when he walks to the mound, the way he's walking around the mound, you know, his presence in that at that sort of time that they bring him in matter. And you can see it. You've been around forever. You know the way it's supposed to look. Yeah. And when it's looking the way sort of it's looking with Fluharty, like, you know, I'm throwing it at you. It just ain't real good right now. Like, my location's not good. The movement on the cutter, you know, the sweeper thing he's throwing. It's just location and all that stuff because he's thrown a lot. He's 23. Like, I think that's sort of, for me, the one thing I think if you could take away from any of that, mm-hmm. what happened and what went on, you know, just the American League East doing it in Boston, just trying to figure out ways to adjust routines. We've heard Little have to do that, right? Not, you know, throwing the weighted ball anymore just because of how much he's thrown. How do you do it if you're 23 and you've never done it before? Try and win and also stay in the big leagues. Not the easiest thing to do. So I'm sure Pete Walker and John Schneider will raise their hand. They'll adjust. They'll figure out ways to get the best out of Fluharty. So that's the only sort of one. I don't want to say concern,
right?
But you may want to pay attention to it.
All right, let's just give you an update on the AL East standings. The Yankees are 48-35. Tampa Bay is 47-37. They're a game and a half back, 3.5 up on the wild card. The Jays, they are 45-38, 3 back, 2 up in the wild card. Boston is 41-44. They're 8 back. They're 3 games behind in the wild card. The Baltimore Orioles are 12 back at 36-47, 7 out of the wild card. And the Jays are still in that run differential, still minus 4. The Jays lineup for today's game.
15-1 to do that for you.
Yes, exactly. Yep, the Jays lineup for tonight's game, Bichette leading off, Clement hitting second at third. Guerrero's at first, Kirk is behind the plate, Springer's DHing, Barger's in right, Straw's in center, Schneider's in left. Will Wagner starting at second base, mm-hmm. Max Scherzer on the mound for the Blue Jays.
Yeah, him and his, remember, I think got hit in the hand. Yeah. I'm sure that's sort of what they're, you know, trying to give him an extra day or two, figure out what's going on with that. I like the Barger thing.
He's an everyday guy.
He is as of right now. You know, Rodon's not the easiest of gets. What lefties are hitting a .154? I mean, he's going to come right after them, right? I mean, it's going to be the slider away. It's going to be the power four-seamer. you know, Barcher just came off of hitting his first home run this year off a breaking ball, right? I mean, the first eight were off of off-speed and fastballs. Those two are straighter, right? You start getting some wrinkle into it, you know, just the approach that starts with his lower half. I think he's made a few adjustments, and, you know, maybe this will carry over and he'll have some better at-bats.
Dave Sims is the Yankees play-by-play voice. He'll join us at 4:30. Ryan Dempster, host of Intentional Talk, 2013 World Series champion. He will be along at 5 o'clock. John Morosi of the MLB Network will be along as well. We've got tickets to see the Jays and Angels on July 5th. All that ahead in Blair and Barker. But as we mentioned, Ross Atkins did a media availability before the game today, and we've selected media availability. We've selected some clips to play.
They're winning.
Yeah, we selected some clips to play and from Ross. And the first one is just a reaction to an obvious question. We are close to the July 31st trade deadline. Well, not close.
But close enough.
Close enough that it's going to be a point of discussion.
Yeah.
And Ross was asked about what his sense is so far of the trade market.
Certainly going to move slow at this point. Like, the market hasn't taken shape. There's a lot of teams that are undecided on what they're doing and will be for some time. So I think that's a little bit more significant than years past, but that could change in 10 days.
Yeah, and that's probably not a great surprise when you look at the standings. We've talked about one of the beauties of the wild card spot is it keeps everybody in the playoff race for a longer period of time. One of the ugly things about the wild card spot is it keeps everybody in the playoff race for a longer period of time. Makes it hard for a team to decide to punt. You know, there are a couple of teams, I think, you know, you talk to everybody. There seem to be teams, people are kind of wondering about the Diamondbacks. People are kind of wondering about Texas to a certain degree. I mean, I don't know about St. Louis anymore. You know, there are teams, Oakland, Chicago, Colorado that clearly aren't in it. But, you know, what does Seattle do? I mean, Seattle's had a difficult time keeping their pitchers healthy.
Mm-hmm.
How do they view that? You know, Houston, I think Houston's been much stronger than any of us thought. Now, they just put Jeremy Pena on the IL, which is going to hurt them. But I think Houston's probably surprised us in that regard. And I just... Part of the problem is, and I have fun about Jerry DePoto, the Mariners GM. It's hard to figure out what he's thinking at times, because we've seen him make moves in the past that just defy description. And so that's a team I'm keeping an eye on. But I'm also really kind of glued in on the Diamondbacks a bit, because those two starting pitchers, I keep thinking, if you're Arizona, move one of those pitchers and get something in return. And I'm talking about Zach Gallen and Merrill Kelly. And if they're free agents and you want them back, they'll re-sign with you, because it's Arizona. Because everybody wants, like, it seems to me to be almost a no-brainer.
Yeah, see, that's not what I heard really him say. I think I heard him say that we still need to figure out what Max is bringing, and we still need to figure out
about,
if Jim...
He's talking about the market. He's not talking about the Jays.
I know what he was talking about. But every once in a while, you need to read between the lines, right? About just how long it's going to take and who's pitching and what that's going to look like. Do we really know what we need to go out and get? Is it an eighth inning guy? Is it another starter? Like, I get it's sort of a totality of the entire conversation. But whenever you're sort of kind of reading into it and see, you know, sort of what their... Sometimes when they're struggling, issues are... You know, if they don't need another starter because of the way Max is doing, if they think Jimmy can carry the load and occasionally be the ninth inning guy, and you can do some things with Hoppin that you want to do, you know, and Rodriguez can handle the load down the stretch in September, which we've never really seen him do, then that might give you a little bit of a window to maybe go out and get you maybe a right-handed bat or somebody that can do some things.
And Ross goes on to say, they're going to be focused on pitching regardless of that. He was asked about Anthony Santander, and that whole situation has really been a bit of a mystery. John Schneider admitting Anthony Santander is farther behind than the Jays may have originally thought. And, well, Ross Atkins shed some light on that today.
The thing that I know has been talked about probably a great deal over the time with Schneider is just how tough he is. And He tried to play through some pain and got to the point where it seemed like it wasn't the best thing to do. And so now at this point, we want to make sure that he's absolutely symptom-free before he returns to a hitting progression, and he's nearing that. We're feeling a lot better about, you know, where he is at this point. He's optimistic. He's in good spirits. And he did have a subluxation, which I'm not so sure that has been publicly said, when he slid into the wall, so his shoulder popped in and out. And that can cause some strain, and we could see some inflammation from that, but that wasn't new to him arriving in Florida.
Mm. There you go. That, it was the hip and then the shoulder trying to make that play in LA, mm-hmm. and a subluxation, having your shoulder pop in and out.
Done that before?
It
was my entire career. I think I did it the first actual professional baseball game I ever played. I dove for a ball between the first base and second base hole. I landed on my elbow wrong. It popped my shoulder out of socket. It was something I had to think about for 16 years.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that's what he's going through. You know, he's a big daddy hack guy. He just ain't trying to get it down to be smooth mm-hmm. through the zone. He's trying to sort of get it down as quick as he can and let that thing eat. So, you know, hopefully they figure out what it's going to take to get him back. That's a big deal. You know, he'd be a big boost to some dudes in that lineup that have been trying to carry the load for a while. It would make it easier for the Bargers of the world just to be Bargers of the world.
And also, it does factor into the trade discussions, because one of the things Ross Atkins talks about today is the Jays want to come up with another right-handed bat. They'd prefer to do it internally, and I would presume that would mean somebody like Aroldis Martinez. I don't get the impression the right-handed bat necessarily has to be an everyday player, because I look at this lineup right now and, you know, with Dalton Varsho coming back at some point, unless it's one of those right-handed hitters that blows you away, mm-hmm. I think maybe more than anything else we're looking at somebody so that Davis Schneider doesn't have to be a right-handed option off the bench. I think that's probably the easiest way to put it. But this is Ross talking in general again about executing trades and just some general thoughts on making deals.
Yeah, I mean, it's so hard to execute a trade. So, you know, is it possible? Sure. I think we're, you know, one of, you know, 5 to 10 teams that are in positions to make significant moves of impact, and we've shown that over the past 5 to 6 years. And if there's ways to do something of significant impact like that, we'll certainly work to it. But just executing half of what you talked about is extremely hard to do.
Yeah, and that obviously they're talking about relief pitching, starting pitching, and offense as well. And one of the things Ross Atkins also stressed, and he probably doesn't need to do this, but I'm sure he feels like he has to anyhow. He did say that, you know, once again, they're going to have support from ownership. They've got room to do stuff.
Yep.
Which is, you know, frankly shouldn't come as a surprise to anybody anymore, because the team just gave out $500 million to Vladimir Guerrero Jr. So mm-hmm. I don't think ownership is at the point now where they're going to start, you know,
owner wants
trying
to win.
Save money on the light bulbs.
Yeah.
So, said. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. This was maybe the most intriguing, at least for me. Because I've always been kind of saying I could see Alek Manoah maybe possibly playing a role down the road. Mm-hmm. He is rehabbing. Ross Atkins was asked about Alek Manoah and if he can be relied upon after the deadline. This was his answer.
Yeah, absolutely. We're expecting that, but similar to the question before, you can't bank on anything. You got to make sure that you're covered and have different ways to attack potential gaps.
That is a little more of a definitive statement than I think we expected. I think in a perfect world, we all thought Alek Manoah comes back and contributes in some form, in September. You talked about Max Scherzer. Now, if Alek Manoah, and this is, I don't know if they're counting on him, but if Alek Manoah comes back, if you think Alek Manoah can come back, that would seem to make your hunt for the type of starting pitcher you're looking for a little different. And what I mean by that is, if Alek Manoah is coming back, or if I can get, think I can get some innings out of him, with him, Eric Lauer, and Max Scherzer, I'm not interested in adding a depth starter. I'm interested in looking a little bigger.
Eighth inning guy.
No, I'm interested in looking at one of the biggest names starting pitch, a guy that can go in my rotation in the postseason. So I'm not thinking, I don't need to add an Eric Lauer type guy at the trade deadline. I need to add somebody who can be my number one, or somebody who can pitch at the top end of the rotation, because I know I'm going to have enough guys to fill in innings between Lauer. Whatever I'm going to get from Scherzer is going to be great. You know, if Manoah can help me out, that's fine. But I think that might give it a little more clarity and allow them to focus on getting that number one starting pitcher. Because frankly, you know, Alex Anthopoulos has talked about it. You get to the postseason, that's when you start abusing guys. You'll do what you have to do to win.
Yeah, it's fair. Look, I think you can.
But I also think it's pretty clear they know they need more help in the bullpen, and I do think they need something to just round out the lineup. I don't know if it's an everyday guy, but I think something to give them maybe a little more right-handed pop off the bench.
Yeah, I think you got to remember, too, with John, whenever he comes on our show and anybody that wants to stick a microphone in his face, he always says we need to take care of the big three, which is trying to get them rest.
Yep.
I would think, too, if Alek came back, you might see a six-man rotation. Now, I know Jose don't like that, but the other two dudes do. Like, they like the extra rest, right? We've seen how good Kevin looks when he had a couple of extra days. Mm-hmm. You know how the giddy-up on the heater and the split finger look. It was splitting more, and when you're just getting them rest down the stretch, if Alek can give you anything, right, some quality. It's not always about quantity as it would be down the stretch about quality. So, yeah, I think that's, something, you know, you can never have too much good pitching. But I think, I think Ross said it the right way is, you know, we're counting on it, but maybe we're not expecting it. Is that what? Yeah, sort of something like that, which
I think that's the right way to go about it. We're counting on it, but we're prepared to not be able to count on.
Yeah, there you go.
So, yeah.
Whatever it would take to help the big three.
Yeah.
I think that's sort of where they're at.
And again, they're not going to punt. Like, they're going to do, if there's a deal out there that makes sense for them, they will do it. The Yankees lineup is just out. Just checking it. Grisham, Bellinger, Judge, Chisholm, Stanton, pardon me, Rice, Volpe, Escarra, LeMahieu. We mentioned Carlos Rodon. On the mound for the New York Yankees. Ross Atkins was also asked about Treya Savage. Now, there's been a lot of talk about Treya Savage. He's moved up in the organization this year. He's obviously their top pitching prospect. He's going to the Futures game. That was just announced, the Futures All-Star game. Ross Atkins was asked about the plans for Treya Savage.
I think it's interesting because I think 15 years ago, I probably would have said probably not. You know, that's a lot to ask. And I think in today's game, because of how strong the amateur game has become and how much they've improved at development, that it is more realistic for these guys to transition to the major leagues at a very rapid rate. Having said that, that's not our focus. Our focus is for him to build a foundation, for him to be a major league starting pitcher for 10 to whatever years, which is so hard to do. So that will be what is the backdrop of our focus, but we're not closing doors on contributions from significant impact players in our system.
So there you go. That is a little bit of wiggle room left over there. Old baseball guy talking here. I hope they let the guy stay in the minors this year.
Yeah.
Given their, and I'm not saying this to slag the organization, but given their track record with maintaining the health of their young pitchers, I just let this guy get a year under his belt.
Well, I think too, if you again, you know, you sort of sometimes got to listen to kind of what he's saying, right? If somebody was to get hurt, that matters at the big league level because we really don't have any quality depth. That might be when we rush him up here to give him a start whenever we'd be giving him a start, I think that's sort of what you said. Doesn't sound like they want to do that.
No. And I think
they might do that. But I have talked to people recently that have said they've seen Trey up close and personal. He is filthy. Now, take that as you'd like. I have not. I've seen him on video. I've watched video. I think mechanically he needs to make some adjustments. I'm just not sure the way he releases the baseball that he can continue to try and do that, throw quality stuff in zones. But man alive, people that I've talked to that said they've seen him up close, he's giving it to them the way they're supposed to be getting it, which is, if you're a fan of that. Now, am I the fan of rushing him? Absolutely not.
Yeah.
But if I had to rush him,
I mean, be careful with him. I would have to know that Max Scherzer and Alek Manoah aren't available. I'm sure it's due to injury, right? As long as you're in contention, I mean, I don't know. I just don't.
Ross did a good job of not closing the door on it.
Yeah, and I think you have to. I mean, one of the things you also know is with the trade deadline approaching, I mean, there is something called the fog of war, and you do like to throw a little bit of BS out there for other teams. So if other teams say, oh, maybe the Jays aren't as interested in starting pitching now because they're thinking about bringing you Savage up, I mean, there's going to be so much BS flung against the wall for the next month.
So we should believe nothing they say. Is what you're saying?
No, but keep that in mind. And it's fair game. It's absolutely fair game to confuse the situation publicly. It's completely fair game. I still don't know
what would be best for the Blue Jays, because they need a little of everything, in my mind. They need basically probably a true number two or three. Hard to get. They need an eighth inning guy. Hard to get. They may need an eighth inning guy, fifth or sixth. They need another guy who can drive in a run against a tough pitcher in a playoff game.
The problem isn't none of those things are hard to get. The problem is getting all three of those things.
I don't think they need all three.
That's hard to get. You can find
Are they a World Series team?
If you want to add one starting pitcher, you can add one starting pitcher. An eighth inning guy, there'll be lots of eighth inning guys.
Yeah, I don't think anybody on this side of the table said they need all three. I said they do need a little bit of everything.
But you said it's hard to get, but that's not hard to get.
Not all three. You're going to get one of them.
Yeah.
You
might be able to get two. You're going to get a pitcher.
Well, absolutely.
Pitcher's going to fall in your lap at 4:35 p.m.
Well, it's got to be a good one, too. I think they're in the good one business, ain't they?
Yeah. I don't think for an organization that has this much financial clout, that's a big deal. For a lot of organizations, getting one of those three would be a big deal. Could they get three? It depends on the type of right-handed. I always throw Ben Revere as an example out there, but that type of guy. Oh, he made a trade for this guy and he rounds out our lineup.
Yeah.
And Ben Revere turned out to be a pretty good player for the Blue Jays for that year. But I think that's what we're looking at. I think we can probably look at this Jays lineup right now. And again, picturing Varsho coming back and assuming Varsho comes back. I have no reason not to.
Does it sound like Tony's far away? I don't think it sounded that way.
No, they talked about they'll probably have a better handle in a couple of days on where he is.
Yeah. You get him back, but Varsho too.
But the question is, I think I'm less certain about what I'm going to get from Dalton Varsho than I am from Anthony Santander, is what I'm saying right now. I have a better idea of what Dalton Varsho is going to give me than Anthony Santander.
Yeah.
I think. But again, at the end of the day, I don't think the position player is that important, but I wouldn't mind them having another impactful right-handed bat off the bench. I think that would be good. They've got lefties. They can play around with things right now. They've got lefties they can bring off the bench.
Yeah.
I like Class A cause he can do a little bit from both sides, but I think they need a right-handed hitter that when you put him in the game, the other team's manager goes, okay, now we've got to change.
All of the conversation that Ross just had, it sounds to me like they think they're a playoff team. If you think you're a playoff team,
they are. Yeah.
How do you run differential, those kind of things. I mean, sometimes he would tell you where you're at. I think the going down the stretch here, it's about keeping the big three healthy. And then when playoff time comes, how do you shorten it and make it a high school game? That, for me, is what it's about, right? You're not trying to overthink it. You're just trying to have so much power out of the pen that it don't really matter who you go to when you go to them, right? I can work backwards now. This is my ninth inning guy. This is my eighth inning guy. This is my seventh inning guy. Whatever my starter gives me, if I want him to go four innings because I went out and got this guy, now it's a high school game. I can turn it into wherever I want to turn it into it will make it a little easier for my pitching coach and my manager. So that's for me on the outside looking in. You can do that. I think their offense is good enough. If you can get Vladdy doing Vladdy special things and you can get Dalton back and doing things left-handed, maybe running into a few, and whatever you get from Tony's a plus.
Ross Atkins did say a little later that Jimmy Garcia is trending in the right direction. They're just basically the same thing we said. They're trying to decide what day they'll activate him. So sure. I guess a lot would depend on what happens tonight. You know, again, it wouldn't make any sense to bring him in and necessarily activate him today if you're not going to use him. It makes no sense to do that. So anyhow, he'll be on in the next couple of days. He'll be added to the roster. We mentioned it's the first of four games against the Yankees. Dave Sims is the Yankees play-by-play voice. He joins us next. It's Blair and Barker on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, Sportsnet.
Dive deep into Toronto sports and the NFL. The J.D. Bunkus Podcast. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back to Blair and Barker on Sportsnet 590, The Fan and Sportsnet. Reminder that tomorrow there will be some scheduling changes here at the station. It is July 1st. You know what that means. That is NHL free agent day.
Ooh.
So Hockey Central signing season will be all over Sportsnet. It's a 3:07 first pitch at the Rogers Center tomorrow. So we will be on following the game with Blue Jays talk. But the rest of the day will basically be hockey, 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 hockey. And then they all go to the lakes and the golf courses for the rest of the summer.
Hey.
Pretty much. First of four against the New York Yankees tonight at the Rogers Center. Carlos Rodon on the mound for the Yankees. Max Scherzer making his second start for the Blue Jays since coming off the IL. Dave Sims is a Yankees radio play-by-play voice. He joins us on Blair and Barker. Dave, thanks so much for joining us today. We trust that the city's treating you well and that that all is good.
Hey, after 18 really fun years in Seattle, I'm back home in New York City, and I'm doing the Yankees.
Yeah.
And please as punch as you would imagine.
I would imagine you would be. I would imagine you would be. So, look, Gerrit Cole gets hurt this year. And I know Max Fried has been a godsend. Let's be clear. 10-2 with a 1.92 ERA. But Dave, Carlos Rodon himself, I was just looking at some of his numbers prepping for the show today. He's third in opponent's batting average, actually second in the American League, third in wins, third in the AL, sixth in strikeouts. He's third in the AL in strikeouts. Max Fried has been tremendous. But Carlos Rodon has really also stepped up for this team, hasn't he?
No question. He had a couple of hiccups early where, you know, he'd be going along pretty well, walk a couple of guys, and it'd be a three-run homer. But after that little stretch, he's turned it around. He's very dependable right now. Fastball, slider, the changeup has been very, very good to him. And he's been a horse, and he's been getting deep into games, too. And I think, that's one of the stalwart things about this ball club is the starting pitching has been really solid, really good with Max, Max being the lead dog.
Dave, you've been around Aaron Judge for quite some time now, up close and personal. Is there something that you've learned that you didn't know about him?
He's a dude who can consistently hit. Not only, does he hit tape measure home runs, but he's a very smart hitter, great eye, very discerning eye. Doesn't freak out if he's in a slump. And I think he went, homeless this week, 4 or 5 games, and then went for 2 last night or yesterday afternoon. So that he is he's good people. And you know what? I didn't really pay that much attention to his defense when I was in Seattle. I'd only seen him, 6 or 7 times. But he can play some defense, man. He takes great angles, and he's got a heck of a throwing arm. I mean, I'm not putting him maybe quite as high as the late great Dave Parker, Winfield, Ellis Valentine, Dwight Evans, Clemente, guys like that, but he's not far behind him.
It's interesting hearing you talk about Judge and not panicking when he slumps or sort of being able to be the same guy when things aren't going well. And it seems to me that's if you look at the guys who've been really great Yankees, Dave, It's one of the things they've been able to do. As I'm not just talking about a guy like Derek Jeter, but I'm talking about guys like even a guy like Jorge Posada or Bernie Williams or guys like that. They always had the ability to not let the fact they were Yankees blow everything out of proportion.
No, exactly, and that's why so much is made. The core four plus Bernie. I mean, Andy Pettit was like that. Andy Pettit, greatest gamer as we've seen in our lifetime. Posada made himself into a dynamic switch in and catcher, great leader, heck of a hitter, heck of a clutch guy. Mo, what more can you say about Mo? And Jeter. So, and then Bernie Williams. As a matter of fact, I saw Bernie recently. But the only reason Bernie looks like he still plays. The only thing they give away is the gray hair. Mm-hmm. He looks great. His second chapter, as a full-time musician, has gone really well. But yeah, you're right about that. These were not guys that were, getting real chesty or anything. They just went out and beat your ass.
Dave, is there somebody on the Yankees team that you were a little surprised about how good he is? Actually, this guy's really, really good, and I didn't really know that.
That's a really good question. Let me, Jazz Chisholm is I like his best position at second base, but I think he's more than acquitted himself at third base this year. I mean, would I like to see Eugenio Suarez become a Yankee? Heck yeah. But, I mean, for right now, I think Jazz is doing a hell of a job and swinging the bat really well.
What do you think as we get close to the deadline, understanding that, let's presume people stay healthy. We know guys are going to get hurt and all that, yada, yada, et cetera, et cetera. But what do you think would be the Yankees' major focus right now as they get close to the deadline?
Yeah, right-hand bat and probably a left-hand pitcher, bullpen guy. I think those would be, and if they got a right hand, like I mentioned, I can't be called for tampering, but I mean, having been around Eugenio Suarez for a couple of years in Seattle, I know how good he is. And even at this stage of his career, he's going to strike out. He's also going to hit bomb swings and play a good third base. So if that would be, I've already had some friends of mine who are Yankees fans, and now I'm radio voice of the Yankees. I'm getting all these questions from these guys. Who should we get? What do you want to do? Here's what I would do. And I've seen speculation among media guys talking about Gino. That would be sensational.
Dave, bases loaded, two outs. Not named Judge. Who else would you want to have up?
Maybe not this month, but prior to this month, Goldschmidt. Goldschmidt was doing, first of all, he's done everything you could possibly do as a first baseman. I think the three of us could be an infielder and throw the ball in his general vicinity, and he's going to make a play. I mean, that's how good he's been. The other thing, he's a guy, he gives you good at-bats. Even he's working his way out of a slump. He hasn't had a big power year, but in terms of base hits and moving the ball, we're all old enough to remember situational hitting was a big part of the game. It's not so much now. But he's old school in that regard. And I think that and he brings tremendous professionalism. And Aaron Boone said, hey, his whole thing is, hey, if I got a sit, no big deal. I'm ready. Just let me know. He's 37 years old, headed to the Hall of Fame,
Yeah. What are the Yankees' plans right now for Ben Rice? How do you see that playing out?
He's really doing a nice job as a sometime first baseman DH, and his catching's not bad at all. He came up as a catcher, and he's got some pop. He has consistently been top 10 in slugging, and I know an exit D-low and all that kind of stuff. Big kid, and he can run a little bit too, for a big kid. Yeah, he's a nice player, really nice player.
Dave, you just mentioned Paul, veteran guy like Cody Bellinger's of the world. How have you noticed that they handle slumping in New York?
Again, they don't freak out. It's listen to our flagship station and everybody calling up. The Yankees still have a 113 run differential. I know that's not a be all and end all, but that's still saying something. And it's still a lot of good, you guys know, teams go in these slumps. Come on. Mm-hmm. And the freak out nature of my, where I used to do talk radio, it seems like it's in the last 30 years, people have like lost their minds on these guys. These guys aren't going to go 161-1,
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And people, I've said this about Yankee fans for a long time. I mean, I get that with 27 championships, they expect to win a lot. Sometimes it gets a little over the line. But they're ferocious in their love, and they're ferocious when it's not going well. And the guys that you mentioned, they're pros. They don't There is no freak out factor with this club, not that I've seen to this point.
Huh. Dave, it's really good of you to join us. Always great to hear your voice. We'll see you down at the ballpark in an hour or so, and I'll make sure to say hi. Thanks, man.
See you, buddy.
Be well.
All right.
Dave Sims, the Yankees radio play-by-play voice. I'm glad he got the job.
Me too.
He's a New Yorker. Yeah. The man's career has been amazing. The number of things, the games he's called, the number of sports he's done. He's a real gem. He's one of those guys when I was, I'm not down on the field as much as I used to, but always used to go out of my way to talk to. And he's got that, just got that energy and that love for the game
Yeah, the Yankees going to be interesting at the trade deadline too. Right now, all of a sudden, I think they're like the third best team in the American League, right? I mean, it's the Tigers, it's the Astros, now they'll be the Yankees. So, yeah, it'll be intriguing to see, right, about the back end of the pen. You know, how's their defense? Are they comfortable with that, right? You know, how many do they need another bat? There's going to be a lot of teams sort of searching for the same thing, right? I mean, you could go down the American League East on teams that are kind of looking for the same thing. It'll be intriguing to see how all these big-time teams figure it out. And I said this, I think the GMs of the teams might have to be the MVP of the team for them to go to a different level. So it's always kind of fun.
John Schneider, Blue Jays manager, did his pregame availability a few minutes ago, and it's a big series. It's against the Yankees. Let's hear what the skipper had to say.
Do you have any injury updates for us, John?
I feel like I have a lot, yeah. All right, so just quickly, Barsh, back to more running. He's going to run the bases tomorrow or the next day. That's kind of the last step before getting him back into games. Jimmy Garcia's here, pitched yesterday. We're kind of working through. I think he's done pitching in Buffalo, so have him back either tomorrow or the next day, I believe, which is a really good thing for us. Burr's pitching in AAA tomorrow. Let's see, who else? Pimmy's fine from the hip high pitch. Manoah's throwing a 2-up live BP tomorrow down in Florida. And I believe that is it.
Ross told us a little bit about Santander. From your perspective, what can you tell us?
I think getting him feeling 100% is the number one priority. And from there, Tony takes really good care of himself. He's got a very, very in-depth routine every single day. So I think once he is 100% and we can get him back swinging, hopefully that can come fairly quickly. I know Ross said hopefully before the break. If that's the case, that'd be great. We obviously miss him. And I know he's really, really excited to get back and kind of show the fans and show everyone kind of what he can do. And, so we'll kind of play it by ear with him and see when he gets back after that.
I'm curious what he told you about just how disappointed and bummed out he is because this is his first season with you. Has that ever happened?
Yeah.
Have you guys talked about that?
We talked about it when he was here, and he's going through it, he's struggling. Yeah, it's a real thing when you come to a new team and it's a whole different set of pressures and routines and you want to kind of show everyone, hey, I deserve this contract, So I think, we talked about that when he was here, and I'm sure that, he's feeling the same way right now. Been texting and talking to him the last couple weeks, and he wants to be here. He loves that the guys are playing well, and he wants to be a part of it. So we'll welcome him back as soon as he's ready.
Before I ask you about the series in general, I spoke to Max on Friday, and he was literally talking at the bit to open up and really set the tone for your club. From a competitive nature, what are you expecting from him?
I think he'll have his emotions in check. I mean, there's not many competitors like him in the last 15 years of this game. So it's, you look back to, his first game here, opening weekend, that was cool. And I think everything he's been through to get back to this point, this is why he's doing it. This is why he's here. This is why he continues to play and love the game. So I love that he's kind of lined up for the first game in a big four-game series against a division, opponent who's leading the division, and he can be a tone setter for sure. And I'm really, really looking forward to watching him.
It's June 30th, tomorrow's July 1st. I get a sense that you're expecting some type of playoff intensity amongst the two teams. Like, what are your expectations as far as how intense this is going to be next week?
I'm sure it will be. It's always fun playing these guys. They're a good team, and arguably one of the best players in baseball, you know, hit third over there. So it's and good pitching, you know, really good lefties, good bullpen, two leverage guys at the end. I think it'll be a good series. I think it'll be fun. You know, we play them again before the break. We play them again in a couple weeks. So you don't want to put all your eggs in one basket over the next 4 days, but you definitely want to come out, you know, and start the series off strong. And like any series we go into, you try to win it.
Carlos Rodon is not an easy guy to face. I understand Andres is not in the lineup. What was the thinking behind that? And then putting someone like Will Wagner in there, in a really big spot.
Yeah, Rodon's tough, and obviously he's tough against righties and lefties, and we were targeting one of the days for him to kind of take a little bit of a blow against a lefty, whether it was Rodon or Fried. And I think there is something to having some kind of mix up of your batting order and not just stacking righties and letting a pitcher get into a groove. I don't know if I'm right on that, you know, but I think that we've done that in the past, and it's something we've discussed. And with Will, I think it's the contact ability. You know, Carlos is tough. He's a big strikeout pitcher, and there's going to be times where you need contact. So, you know, I said it earlier, not that he's the sacrificial lamb for Emmy today, but you trust that he's gonna move the ball forward when he needs to. And he's a good hitter, you know what I mean? He's got a short, simple swing, and you're looking for contact from him, and hopefully Barge clipping a mistake.
It's John Schneider, the manager of the Blue Jays. And it's interesting, something you talked about, gosh, years ago, and I remember Buck Martinez coming on and saying, you know, I'm going to give Kevin credit for one thing only.
That's it, huh?
No, he didn't say that. But he said, I'm going to give him credit for one thing. And something you talked about, and you'd heard from other people, that, you know, it is a thing for a pitcher. If you're a lefty and you're facing nothing but righties, every now and then, it's a good thing to have a lefty in there, so you got to change things. You got to change your eyesight a little bit. You're getting a look from a different side, and I think you heard that with John talking about Will Wagner going in there. You know, now you've got, I mean, I know you've got a run of righties, obviously. Those everyday guys are going to be in there, but Barger, Straw, Schneider, and Wagner gives at least a little bit of a different look to
the
lineup.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, Rodon's a little different. He's basically a two-pitch guy. He'll sprinkle in some other couple of pitches, but it's basically four-seam slider. And if you're lefty, you're going to get one of them two pitches. You got to lay off the slider. The slider is his pitch, right? It's the elevated velocity on the four-seamer. You know, Will's got to do a little bit better. I mean, you know, this is sort of his opportunity to get in games and compete. You got to play good defense. You got to run the bases the way you're supposed to run the bases, and you got to compete offensively. That's where they're at as an organization. So, you know, for me, this is more about Barger getting in the game. You know, he's a threat. He's a threat. If you hang the slider, he can do something to it. So, yeah, I mean, I guess, but this guy's a little different. This guy breathes a little different air than most that's left-handed.
Speaking of breathing a different air, Aaron Judge is awfully good.
You think?
The only player in Yankees history since the All-Star game was established in 1933 to hit at least 30 home runs multiple times for the All-Star break.
Four times.
He's done it four times, yes. This is the sixth time in his career he's reached a 30 home run mark. He's got 30 home runs and a .356 batting average, one of only six major league players in the modern era to hit as many home runs and record an average that high in their club's first 83 games. 30 home runs and 110 hits, the third player in major league history to record at least 30 home runs and 100 hits before July, joining Sammy Sosa and Luis Gonzalez. And he does pretty well against the Yankees, you might recall. 39 home runs against the Blue Jays, are the most by a Yankee against Toronto in franchise history. It's the second most home runs by any player against a single opponent since 2017, trailing only the 480s hit against Baltimore. He's hit four home runs in his last seven games against Toronto and 11 home runs in his last 25 games against Toronto.
He's got 19 at the Rogers Center in 50 games. If you're John Schneider, if you're Max Scherzer, if you're Alejandro Kirk, if you're Pete Walker, you let that dude swing a bat, you're nuts. You are nuts. Like, I mean, you just, when in doubt, just don't throw him a ball. He's obviously been really good at forcing guys into the zone. Anybody else beat you except that dude? If yep. they don't, somebody on this show is going to yell at somebody.
Well,
that's probably going to be me.
Just don't yell. Just don't yell at me. Ryan Dempster joins us next. John Morosi as well. And we've got Jays tickets. Don't go anywhere. It's Blair and Barker on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet.